Hey there, thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, embodiment educator, and your host. Embodied Astrology is much more than a podcast. We are a thriving virtual community offering regular weekly and monthly classes, study groups, and more, exploring the intersections of astrology, creativity, arts, healing, and social change. Aries season has arrived, the astrological new year has begun, and we are headed into eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde. At this point in 2024, things are really starting to heat up. And as we look towards what's forecasted to be another hottest year on record, I'm guessing that many of you are ready for the kinds of changes that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. And you might be looking for ways to join forces with others who want to create futures on Earth that are vibrant, creative, and courageously committed to visions of reciprocity, reparation, and recalibration of values and power. At Embodied Astrology, we've been preparing to meet this moment. Beginning the weekend of March 23rd, we're launching a year of experimental programming that's geared towards shaping strategies for the future and crafting containers for new experiences of what community can feel like. Join us for a journey of experiential astrology, where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, and work with astrology to support your artistic and creative practices, navigate through conflict transformation and repair, reawaken your relationships to Earth and the cosmos, and take part in exciting and inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, your horoscopes. You're about to listen to your Aries season ahead reading, which is an excerpt from my 2024 year ahead readings. The 2024 readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. They offer an abundance of information and support to help you make the most of what this year is bringing. You can download your full-length reading today from the link in the show notes or find them in the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Aries season begins on March 19th, and right away, we are cooking. Aries is a fire sign, and Scorpio and Aries, though they are in many ways very different, are also in many ways quite similar. They are both Mars-ruled signs. And so the energy of Mars, and that is an intelligence of action, penetration, perception, initiation, activation, passion, desire, and also combat, stealth, cunning. The energy of Mars is infusing this season, and the energy of Mars infuses you as a Scorpio-identified person. So already, this is a season that's about your energy. And then we want to consider, where is Aries in the Scorpio solar chart? And that is in a place called the sixth house. The sixth house has everything to do with how your life is working for you or not working for you. This is a place of functionality, function and dysfunction, right? They both happen. They're both natural parts of life. Sometimes things work, sometimes they fall apart, including you. Your body, your mind, your states of well-being are very much themes of the solar sixth house. Also, you know, your personal wellness is not at all disconnected from the environment around you. And so the sixth house definitely refers to the ways that the environment around you is affecting you and how you are affecting the environment around you. And so this could include the details of your environment and also things like your chores or responsibilities. The sixth house has a lot to do with labor and how you labor, your ability, disability, things like that. Your attention, your energy, your capacity. The sixth house is also associated very much with the labor of your job, and then also with the idea of being employed. And so it is a place where we are employed. And even if you're self-employed, you're laboring. And what you're doing as your labor is not always so glamorous, even if your job is. My work as an astrologer might evoke certain ideas for people, but it rarely evokes the idea of how much time I spend on admin duties, which is a huge part of my job, is like the administrative part of running a virtual thing, platform. The administrative duties, a slog, not just playing around with the stars and the planets, unfortunately. So the sixth house is the job. And the job is not always one that is chosen. And so in the sixth house, there can also be a feeling of like servitude or even enslavement. And servitude and enslavement are realities for many people. And even if it's not technically your reality, it may feel that way. Like you might have a job that actually feels like, you know, you're trapped, you're getting exploited, you're getting, whatever. So that's the sixth house. Sixth house vibes are not the most fun vibes in the chart wheel. There can be a lot of frustration in this part of the chart. There can definitely be feelings of failure and futility. Things are always falling apart. Not everything is working well all the time. But you have Aries here, Scorpio. And Aries is oriented towards its own individuation, passion, and desire. Aries is very instinctual. It can be quite combative, and it can also be very successful in getting what it wants. And right now, the North Node is in Aries, and the North Node is the ascending point of the moon as it's orbiting around the Earth. And the moon is wrapping around the Earth every year like a serpent coiling around an egg. It's changing where it wraps. And whenever we have a new moon or a full moon where the moon happens to be in exact alignment with the Earth and the sun, so as there might be an obscuration, this is called an eclipse. And the North Node is an eclipse point. That's what it symbolizes. We also have the centaur planet Chiron currently in Aries, as well as the dwarf planet Eris. These energies, respectively, have to do with evolution, the North Node, with healing and healing journeys, particularly healing journeys that last a lifetime and are intergenerational in their nature. Chiron, how we heal, we also become healing forces in the world and for others, Chiron. Eris, not going to party with the status quo, not interested. Shit stirrers, disturbing natures, conflict and strife, disruption of the elite status quo, especially some of Eris's symbols. The day before Aries season begins, Mercury is already in Aries. It connects with the North Node. The day after Aries season begins, the sun in Aries connects with Pluto. You might remember from Capricorn season that Pluto is your modern ruler, so it's important to pay attention. And also Pluto is currently right at the root of your chart. And then guess what? Because the North Node is here, that means that anytime we get a full moon or a new moon, we're going to get an eclipse if it's near the nodes. So we are entering eclipse season. We have an eclipse on March 25th. It's a lunar eclipse in Aries opposite sign Libra. 2 weeks later, on April 8th, we'll have a solar eclipse in Aries. Between these eclipses, Mercury will station retrograde also in Aries. Mercury will be retrograde all of April, pretty much. It stations direct April 25th. And then at the end of Aries season, we've got a bunch of contact that's important. So we'll have another Kazemi Sun-Mercury conjunction. And we will have a Venus-Mercury conjunction, and Venus will also connect with the North Node, all in Aries. So it's a hot, hot season. Hot, hot, hot. It might literally be hot on the planet. I know this is going to be a big year for climate events, and, you know, fires are definitely part of a global reality that we are going to be figuring out how to work with in increasing ways. So that might be part of what you are working with, because we are all going to have to work with it, or whatever, you know, your location specific climate events. However, in the sixth house, we have themes about your day to day. And we got a lot going on here that's really activating, that's really energizing, that is evolutionary in its nature, that is about disrupting the status quo reality, doing healing work. And in the context of this particular healing work in Aries, especially, we're healing around our individuated identities. We're healing in the places where toxic individualism has separated us from our continuity and wholeness and relationship and spirit. And we're also doing the work where toxic codependencies, you know, and like structural oppression and relational fuckery have, we've been enmeshed in it, like we've been caught in it. And so there might be needs for individuation that are really life-affirming and life-giving that need to happen around now. So let's look at these eclipses. So on March 25th, we have a lunar eclipse in Aries' opposite sign, Libra. Libra is the sign that comes before yours. It holds the place called the 12th house. The 12th house is the opposite of the 6th house. And in the 6th house, we're working with mundane reality. So in the 12th house, we're working with everything that you can't see, which is an enormous part of your mundane reality, but you just don't know it all the time because you're unconscious of it. And so the 12th house is the unconscious. It's the unseen, the hidden realms. It is the, it is a kind of imaginal space, but it's more like a dreamy kind of unconscious imaginal space or the collective imaginal. The 12th house can also be the environment and the atmosphere, you know, the climate, and that includes the social climate. So we have an eclipse in Libra. Libra is a sign often using keywords. People will describe it as, you know, associated with relationships, with partnering, with what is required for healthy relationships and partners to be sustainable, which is some capacity to get along with each other, right? And so processes of like mediation or, justice, restorative justice, justice as a concept, fairness, equilibrium. If we have equality in relationship and harmony in relationship, then we have peace. Libra really wants peace. Peace, beauty, pleasure. The 12th house, though, is a place of undifferentiatedness. And this full moon, I think the themes right now for me that are resonating the most strongly is that you can't control other people. People will people. And the way that people people for a lot of circumstances is neither just nor pleasant. You can't control other people. People will people. And sometimes people will really surprise you. Sometimes you'll encounter the most heartwarming and exultant examples of people really rising to the occasion of their peopling. This is an eclipse that is inviting you to connect with possibility models in your own spirit knowing, in your dream space, in your places of faith, and in your connection to the unseen realms, with the notion that relationships can be healing, that they can be full of justice, that the justice that can happen inside of relationships looks nothing like a lot of the systems of justice that we see in the world today, but are infused with actual real healing and repair and accountability processes, where nobody is thrown away, where people who have been agents of harm are helped to heal the harm that lives inside of them, and where we can really hold each other with equity and equanimity, that we can hold our own dignity in relationship with one another and uphold each other's dignity. These are some ideas that I want to invite you to really like concentrate on and meditate with around the full moon. Eclipse times are times that symbolically represent a ripening of karma. And when eclipses happen on Earth, we have very strong tidal poles. Tidal poles are poles of patterns. Rhythmic patterns are really important for all living forms on Earth. And sometimes patterns become imbalanced and dysfunctional. And so eclipse times are times that often increase consciousness of imbalanced and dysfunctional patterns so that we can address them. Things can happen around eclipse times that awaken us, and often what we are awakening to is nothing new. It's been here for a while. We've probably even been quite aware of it. Something has been building, and now it's ready to change. I talked to you a lot about how consciousness is growing for you in your relational spaces in the 2024 overview. That was one of the main themes. And I don't know if I ever said this explicitly in the 24 reading, in the overview reading, but the exchange that is part of like how we might imagine justice most expansively, accountability, right? Reciprocity. Exchanges, this is a really big part of what's been changing for you, is like, what are you giving and what are you getting? What are you putting out and what are you receiving in? And the contracts that you're making with people are changing, the agreements, right? You're not giving what you used to give and you don't want to get what you used to get. You are asking for different ways of relating. And this full moon is really resonating with what you are letting go of on psychic and subconscious levels. And it may be helping you do that work by presenting you with manifestations of it. So you're like, oh, that's the thing I don't want to do. That's the thing that doesn't work. And it might happen in your life that you get this example. And it might happen in the world in some way that you can just see it. And it may be affecting you explicitly or not, but you're witnessing it. Eclipse times are times when karma is ripening. And so we have the opportunity to shift something, to change something. And in order to shift and change, we have to be very, very present inside of what's happening. And all of the kind of like first parts of Pisces season, basically from the beginning of Pisces season until the beginning of April, I said Pisces, all of the beginning of the first part of Aries season, sorry. But actually that's true from Pisces season. So way back from middle of February until Aries season, there's a lot happening in Pisces that's supporting you to be very present. And what I was just talking about in Aries season is between March 21st and April 3rd, Venus is moving through Pisces. Venus is exalted in Pisces, and it's forming a bunch of aspects. So around this time of the eclipse that are helping you do this work of kind of like creative transformation of your relationships and how you're going to transform in your relationships towards these new exchanges is by being as present as you possibly can with what you're experiencing and witnessing. And consistently choosing to adjust what is on the subtle, internal, and creative, expressive levels. And so if you are witnessing or experiencing something and you're like, yeah, no, that's the old pattern, or that's not what I want, then your work is to really affirm and validate that for yourself internally, to feel that, let it register emotionally. And then try and do the work of psychic and psychological integration. So what are the energetic patterns that uphold and maintain these ways of beings? And how do you divest from them? How do you shift in the ways that you might be participating or in proximity? You are most well served at this time by expressing abundant love. And it would be really great if you could express abundant love to spirit as we move into Aries season. So in any way that you might have an altar or a spiritual practice or a prayer practice or a breathing practice or an ancestor practice, be with spirit. And it would be excellent if you could express abundant love to the spirit that moves through you and to the spirit of your own, like, most pure love. And for a lot of us, we need to go all the way back to our memories of being children and babies, right? Like pure clarity, innocence, unconditional love, the energy of unconditional love. And you don't necessarily need to be able to direct that at anybody or everybody, but you want to be able to access it somehow, and your imagination will really help you. And so I would definitely recommend, if you have a baby picture of yourself, putting it on your altar and trying to send love to yourself as a baby. And also anything that gets you to the feeling that you're connecting with spirit, and try and send gratitude, try and send love. It's super simple, nothing complicated. Just give thanks, offer adoration, and ask to be filled with the presence of love. If you make that a prayer for yourself all of Aries season, March 19th through April 19th, then you're going to have a lot of support to move through these eclipses.
Astrology, like many things in our world, is a system that has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy, white supremacy, and colonial imperialism. But we're lucky to be alive at a time when this language is evolving rapidly and providing healing, insight, and support for so many people. Astro's current revolution is due to the scholarship and praxis of philosophers, mystics, and oracles who pushed and continue to push against the way things have been written, orienting instead to radical, queer, and creative potentials of this craft. Embodied astrology is firmly rooted in a lineage of evolutionary expansion and ancestral repair. Our teaching team and community center queer and diverse approaches to working with symbolism and engaging astral mechanics and magic. If this sounds like something you're looking for, we hope that you'll join us for the launch of our new program the weekend of March 23rd and 24th. We start on Saturday, March 23rd, with a council session led by Sherry Taylor on the Femme Faces of Saturn. Sherry is a clinical psychologist, death doula, grief mentor, and practitioner of planetary allyship. This is her second year teaching with embodied astrology, and she's continuing in 2024 to deepen with the mystery school of Saturn's transit in Pisces. This special session sets the tone for a devotional cycle with Saturn and mythic mysteries of bone mothers and tenders of time. Drop in once and receive an initiation into your own practice, along with a workbook full of prompts and exercises, or sign up for the whole series and commit to a journey that will reshape your understanding of how to work with this important energy of obstacles and integration. Sunday, March 24th, Embodied Astrology is delighted to welcome back acclaimed author, playwright, and artist astrologer Junauda Petrus for her third year teaching with us. In 2024, by popular demand, Junauda will be expanding her artistic alchemy offerings from quarterly workshops to a monthly series. Join us every month near the full moon for a sweet and soulful gathering where we'll work with the transiting lunar solar axis in our charts and in our hearts. We'll reflect on how we show up for ourselves, our creative devotions, and the realities of surviving in a world that is filled with both beauty and uncertainty. In these sessions, we'll practice staying grounded with the rhythms of astrology and spirit, channeling the wisdom of cosmic alignment, and opening to celestial guidance from ancestors as support for balancing creative life in the real world. You can always drop in to one of Junauda's monthly gatherings or sign up for the whole year and get access to a virtual communion space where you can connect with other creatively minded seekers. All of our offerings are recorded for those who can't attend live. Embodied Astrology is committed to financial accessibility. You can find scholarship codes right on our checkout pages for sliding scale, and you can always write to us for more support if finances are a barrier. Click the link in our show notes or head to embodiedastrology.com to learn more and sign up. Mercury retrograde is April 1st through the 25th in your sixth house. And the sixth house is a place of functionality. So this is a retrograde where you are restructuring your functionality. This is about your day-to-day, your habits, your patterns, your chores, your jobs, the routine parts of your life that make your life work or keep your life from working. This is a great period of time to do self-renewal and cleansing work. If you're trying to like cease an addiction or some kind of pattern that is not serving your health and well-being, this is really, 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 really freaking helpful astrology for you to make those shifts. Similarly, if you're trying to incorporate new ways of being that serve and support your health and well-being, this is super helpful time for that. There's a lot of energy right now for you to work towards what is important for you. And for a lot of you, this also includes what is important for the world and important in your communities. How you activate and move into your life is wanting your attention right now. And this becomes very obvious as we get towards the solar eclipse on April 8th. And as I mentioned, these eclipses are resonating with healing needs in the experiences of individuation and individuality. There are so many examples of toxic individualism and the ways that people get really wrapped up in egoic pursuits where they need to like prove their ego all the time with competitiveness, with comparison, with running their bodies like machines rather than bodies, treating themselves and others in ways that are violent. You don't need to do that. You do not need to do that. Don't need to do it. You don't need to do it in your life. It's not helpful. If you find that you're feeling competitive, arrogant, violent, egotistical around this time, ask what is underneath those feelings because there's some insecurity there. Who taught you how to fight like that? What's the earliest memory that you have of feeling competitive and insecure? There are healthy competition states and unhealthy competition states. The healthy competition states allow for love of everybody involved. We're just playing. I know that if I lose, it doesn't make me worse than you. You know? Let's see how fast we can run. Like, let's go. Healthy competition gets us to rise to the occasion of our own, like, personal best. That's great. That's the kind of energy we want to invite in. Unhealthy competition has hatred inside of it, right? It has, like, envy wrapped up into it. It has like distorted self-regard into the trash with those kinds of ways of being. But we can't just throw them into the trash. We have to find out where they're rooted. They're going to be rooted in some kind of insecurity that you're not good enough already. When's the earliest you can remember feeling that way and who taught you how to feel that way? Go all the way back to that root and then offer love, care, and compassion. In the altar of your imagination and mind, bring tools of healing and repair and resolution and see if you can untether and cord cut from those ways of being. The more that you can apply yourself to this kind of consciousness, it continues to assist what I have talked to you about in previous seasons and in your year ahead overview about relational liberation. And in the sense of relational liberation that you want, there's so much space for relational satisfaction because you're not needing things from people in this needy external way. You're not needing their validation. You're not needing to win. You're not needing to lose. You know, it's like you're not needing to fight. You're not needing to like make up. It's like you're okay. You're okay because you're connecting with your own source, your own energy, your own vitality.
and you're attending to your own needs in the ways that you can. You can't attend to all your needs. You do need people. I'm not saying you like don't need people, but in terms of your like patterning, the ego trips that keep you in ways of relating that are possessive, that are objectifying, that are boring and unsatisfying, that's what you want to leave. It's like those ego trips. Why would you stay in a boring, unsatisfying relationship if you were not also in a mind state of scarcity, right? And there is actually, it's like, that's also an ego space. There are tons of very good reasons to feel in touch with scarcity, but there are also avenues to abundance. You want to move towards the avenues of abundance so you can untether yourself from scarcity, so that you can untether from scarcity patterning in relationships to the best of your possibility. The most you can do inside the context and conditions that you're in. We live in a state of massive inequality in terms of money and resources. There are definitely probably relationships that you can't totally untether from that are abusive at their core because there's inequity of some kind, or maybe not abusive, but like not completely healthy or healing or whole. You know, there might be competition, there might be insecurity, there might be mistrust. Not everything can be addressed with mindfulness, you know, but a lot can be transformed. And so this is definitely a period of time you really want to work with these eclipses on connecting with your sovereign state, with your empowerment. And your empowerment is so deeply connected with your connection with spirit, with your relationship to the vitality and the life force that moves through you. And so if you want to serve and support the liberation, the healing, and the innovation, and the excitement, the creativity that you want in your relationships and in your life, then really work on the ego healing that might be coming up in Aries season, anywhere you find it. Anywhere you find it, even if you're not really feeling it in yourself, but like you see it in somebody else and you're like, wow, that person's insecure. Just take a moment and like meditate in yourself and be like, is there anywhere in me that kind of resonates in those ways that could do that or be like that? And if you find a place in you that resonates and can relate, go towards that place with love and care and compassion, right? Really try and feel and sense into its somatic form. Notice its behavioral quality and moods, its vibrations, the sensations it brings into your body, the images that it produces, and then go back in your memory body, right? All the way to the earliest memory you can find of ever feeling that way. Think about who gave you role modeling of being that way, and then bring healing to that place in your psyche. And then from that healed imaginative space, ask like, well, how could you bring this into your life in a different way? If I go into the part of me that has been trained to be competitive and mistrusting, and I bring flowers and scented water and candles to the little me that learned that they couldn't trust, you know, and that they needed to fight for attention and approval and survival, if we take time to just be together and enjoy each other's company, and I can like really give that little me some messages from the grown me that's like, you know what? People are on their own shit. You have your own unique way and you can rest into that way. And what's your personal best? You know, you don't need to compete with anybody else. Like, what's your personal best? And then they tell me. Then the next question is, okay, like, what does that information want to do in my life? If my little me and I'm like, okay, what's your personal best? And my little me is like, my personal best is when I dance every day, because my little me definitely would say that. Then how am I going to be responsible to that information? If I know that the true source, one of the true sources of vitality in me needs to dance every day, that means that I am the one who's responsible for making sure that I turn on some jams and dance every day.
Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs 404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs 404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.